Welcome back to the program. Great to have your company. Thanks to everyone that sent through a text so far today on the Temper text machine, T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses and pillows like no other. But time to have a chat to David Saker, Melbourne Renegades head coach, thanks to Liberty, free thinking home, car, business and personal loans. It is about to finally get underway, the Big Bash. We've been talking about it a bit, but finally on Sunday it is underway, although the Renegades have to wait until Tuesday for their opener. Welcome to you, David. Great to have you on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dwayne. And, looking forward to getting some cricket done.
So, with other sports, you know, NBL, AFL, we get a whole heap of pre-season games to get some sort of judgment going. How do we work you guys out, whether you're going to win it, lose it, where you're going to be?
I think we'll be very competitive. We're aiming to be very competitive and play off in some finals. And when you get into finals in 2020 cricket, you know, anything sort of can happen. So, you know, we're planning to have a really big season. We're coming off a couple of lean seasons, which is not ideal, but we've got a lot to offer. There's some young kids that are going to get some chances early in the season. So it's a pretty exciting time. And it's a great time to play sport in Melbourne around the Christmas period.
Absolutely. In Marvel Stadium, I was there for the AFL draft and it looks a picture. The turf looks magnificent. So I presume you can't. Well, have you been on it? Have you had a little hit on it at all?
No, we don't get on it till Monday night. So, Yeah, that is a bit of a tricky thing for us. But, we're just hoping that the wicket plays the same every week so we get a good feel for what we need to play, the bowlers we need to play, the way we bat, and just formulate a plan to that wicket. The one thing you don't want as a home ground is getting different wickets every week. So we're just hoping it plays the same, whether it's good for the seamers or good for the spinners, it's as long as it's consistent.
You obviously have had a good long look at the Adelaide Strikers, who you host. By the way, if you want to get tickets to it, there are still tickets available for Tuesday night's first Big Bash game for the Melbourne Renegades against the Adelaide Strikers. You've obviously had a good look at the Adelaide Strikers. How much does analytics play in your preparation, David? Does it play more of a role in T20 than Test or less?
It definitely plays a role. It's a pretty similar role at certain times in the game, but yeah, you know, it's probably because it's only 20 overs, you've only got a certain amount of balls to bowl to a certain batter. If you get a really good matchup, say a left arm fast bowler to a right hand batter, which, you know, if that matchup's perfect, that's the way you go. But it's also a bit of gut instinct for the captain. You just don't leave everything to the stats. If someone's bowling really well on a day, it doesn't really matter what sort of batter's batting. He always seems to be going well. But, you know, you're always looking at the matchups. The captain's aware of the matchups. We have to deal with a guy called Rashid Khan, who's probably the best bowler in the world. So, you know, if we deal with him with the bat very well, we'll probably, you know, stop him getting wickets and we'll be able to post a good score. But, you know, the matchups do play a big part these days, but again, it's captain feel as well out in the middle.
You mentioned captain. Will Aaron Finch be available? It's reports that he'll miss it.
Yeah, we're still up in the air. Obviously, we're hoping, but he won't captain even if he does play. Nick Maddinson's taken over for that role. He won't be playing, but we're going to give the captaincy to Kane Richardson for the first few games until Nick comes back. So even if Aaron plays, he'll just play as a batter, opening batter. He's had quite a lot to deal with captaincy of Australia and the media and everything that goes with being a captain. He just wanted to walk away from that for a competition. So we were happy with that. We're hoping to still have him on the weekend, but he's got to go through some tests and making sure that knee is 100%.
Will they still tap into him over and over again? Is it kind of still going to be the brain that you go to for those guys on the field and with your prep?
Yeah, without a doubt. If you got Aaron Finch on the ground, I think he'll play a big part on who's bowling and who's batting anyway, and the field placements. You know, Kane Richardson's a fast bowler, and you know, it's a bit of a flavour of the week, I suppose. Pat Cummins getting the captaincy of the Australian team, and Kane getting it for us, but yeah, when Kane's bowling, I think Aaron will play a big part on field placements and movement of players. And that would happen naturally anyway. There's always the senior players out there moving players, whether they've got a captaincy role or not. So just having his brains, you know, pre-game in the meetings and game day is fantastic. But, you know, we'd much rather his actual batting skills as well. So we'll wait and see.
And you just have to move with the times. If you have players unavailable, available, they're sometimes there's movement with all teams when it comes to the availability of their big stars.
Yeah, and with the clash with the Australian A team, so we lose Nick Maddison, Marcus Harris, we've got Sean Marsh injured, and the chance to lose Aaron Finch. So, you know, our top four would look quite different than it's done in the past. But all it does is open up great opportunities for some young players. So Mackenzie Harvey, Fraser McGurk, Jonathan Merlo, and James Seymour might get an opportunity. So, you know, all that for us, it's a great opportunity to see some young kids play under some good pressure. And Adelaide Strikers have got the same problem. They're without Renshaw, Head and Carey. So it's sort of taking the same sort of players away from them as they did with us. So it's going to be an interesting... They'll have some young batters in their top order. We will have some for ours. So, again, exciting to see some young talent come through, and that'll be great to watch.
So you've obviously been coaching around the world as well. You've got a little bit of a love for England because you've had some input into them. How are you going to see this Ashes series play out? What do you think might happen?
I think it's probably going to be a bit closer than people make out. On paper, you would assume that the Australians would go very well, but on paper last year, you would have assumed they would have beaten India as well, particularly in that last test. So, you know, if you take any side in international cricket lightly, you'll get bitten on the bum pretty quick. So, if Australia's bowling lineup is as good as you get, and you've also got Steve Smith, David Warner and Labar Shagna up the front, and then probably Marcus Harris will be up the top with them. So it's a pretty good batting order, but I think the batters for the English guys, Stokes and Root, are going to have a really good series, I think, for them to win. But, you know, you'd never say never. So, it's, you know, Ashes cricket is just so exciting. And, you know, I can't wait to watch that coming up. And I've got lots of friends in both camps. So it's a little bit difficult for me to sort of take sides. But, it's going to be a great series.
Well, you've worked with Jimmy Anderson. I presume you count him among those friends you're talking about. So I'll ask you a question. I know the answer you're going to give me. Is Jimmy Anderson done? He's 39.
Yeah, but he's still as fit as strong as he's probably ever been. And he doesn't seem to be getting... Well, he's definitely not getting worse. He just keeps producing. He's an unbelievably competitive beast. You know, when you watch him train and watch him go about it, you'd know why he's still going around at the age he is. At some stage, he's probably going to say, I've had enough, but I think he loves playing against Australia, and I can't see him giving up Test cricket in a hurry when he gets a chance to bowl in England every 6 months. So he's just a genius in the English wickets, and, you know, for them, it might be an idea to just hold him back for home tests for the next couple of years, and then... Yeah, what is he? 700 test wickets. He's not far. Yeah, he's going to be the all-time greatest, probably fast bowler as far as wickets go forever. I can't see that getting beaten because longevity is a pretty tough thing for fast bowlers. So he's still got at least 1 or 2 years, I think, left in him.
How have you seen the Richardson v. Stark for the Gabba argument? There's been a few that have had a few very well-publicised things to say, Warnie included. Where do you sit on that debate?
Oh, yeah, I'm good friends with Shane, but I don't agree with him on this case. I just think, you know, Mitchell Stark's record speaks for itself. There's been some ups and downs over the last 12 months, but, you know, his record is exceptional. He's also a left arm, which gives you a bit of point of difference. And he's exceptional getting the tail out. And in Test cricket these days, sometimes that is a hard battle. So he's got that little bit of extra pace that can get the tail out. Jai Richardson is a terrific bowler, don't get me wrong, but I just think if having three right fast bowlers, there's not that point of difference. And, you know, Mitchell's record is phenomenal. So I'd be going with the top three. The one player that I thought if he didn't retire from international cricket, James Pattinson might have been a good chance to start. But I'd definitely be going with the three quicks and Nathan Lyon. And, you know, Cameron Green's got some big upside as well as a bowler. So, you know, that's still a very, very good bowling attack, and I think that'd do the job most games.
You've been one of our great fast bowlers, David, and you were born from an era where you had to be a little nasty. You couldn't just bowl quick. You sometimes had to get to the nasty end of quick. You've been coaching the US. Can I ask you, how do you explain the ethics of short pitch bowling to the Americans who know what the rules are and what the ethics are when it comes to baseball? But when you explain, well, we want you to bowl short, we call it chin music, but we kind of don't want the head to be hit. How do you explain all that all to the Americans?
Yeah, it was funny that there was a lot of expat Indian cricketers over there, so right. They understood it. But we had some, you know, West Indian American guys that hadn't played a lot of cricket. They were great hitters of the ball, clean hitters. But you know, when there wasn't a lot of fast bowlers, to be fair, in that team either. But you know, the short pitch bowling is usually there just to mess batters' feet up and make them a little bit less confident coming on the front foot, and then it brings your bolds and LBs and caught behinds in. But you know, being aggressive as a fast bowler is pretty much a prerequisite. If the game has changed, my day was, you know, you would bowl quite a lot of bouncers. It's more now just used to mess the batter's feet up. It's not as much as intimidatory as it was in my day. You can remember back in the 70s and 80s, yep, facing the West Indians without helmets on. That was pretty scary. So even the bottom order now have helmets and they get in line, where in the 70s and 80s, the bottom order were off the wicket and letting the guys bolt the stumps. So it has changed in that sense. But, you know, most of the really good fast bowlers have got a little bit of a nasty streak, and I think that helps.
And we had a caller yesterday on the program, David, before I let you go, talking about this. Should the short pitch ball be banned? Should the bouncer be banned if it's above shoulder height? But we were talking yesterday that it's one of those things in cricket where it's a bit like boxing. I mean, you can't outlaw punching to the head in boxing. It's just part of boxing. Is short pitch bowling always going to be part of cricket, even though they've adjusted the rules, obviously, to make sure that you do it less and less dangerously?
I'd be shattered if they took the short pitch bowling away from cricket. There's two things. It's exciting to watch a fast bowler bowl fast and bowl bouncers. It's also really exciting when batters take the short ball on. A lot of the big sixes that are hit are from the shorter balls. And the protective gear these days is as good as you can get. Obviously, after the Phil Hughes tragedy, you know, they looked at the best way to make helmets better. And, you know, you see a lot of people get hit in the head these days playing cricket, but it's not as bad an injury as you know. You could imagine how many guys could have got hit in the 70s and 80s without helmets. They didn't get hit a lot of the time because they're off the pitch. They were too scared to get in line, which is understandable. But the gear we wear now is just so well, you know, you're so well protected that, you know, the bounces, yeah, of course, there's an element of danger to it. But if it goes out of the game, I'd be a pretty shattered coach.
Did it mean that the old batters could play it better because they kind of had to get their head out of the way? Or do you like the fact that the helmet allows you to get your head in line, even though you might get hit, but you won't get hurt when you get hit?
Well, the argument is when you didn't have helmets, you keep your eye on the ball for longer, so it gave you more chance of hitting the ball, which I understand all that. But I think batters these days get in line with the ball more often, so there's a more chance of them getting hit. You know, there's no doubt the top four or five batters in the 70s and 80s definitely got in line with the ball, and they took the short ball on. But the batters down the order, you know, very rarely got in line with the ball. You know, I can definitely speak for myself. I didn't get in line all that much. But, you know, that's just, you know, I think the game has changed a little bit, evolved a little bit in that sense. But, you know, there was great players that took the short ball on in those days, and there's still great players that do it now.
And while we're talking philosophy, I got one last one. As a fast bowler, would you prefer always pick the best gloveman, or does the gloveman these days need to be proficient with the bat and bloody good with the bat, since Adam Gilchrist kind of changed the world we live in? Where did you stand on the Alex Carey, Josh Inglis debate?
My my thinking, particularly being a bowler, I want the best gloveman behind the stumps for sure. I think Tim Payne's done an amazing job behind the stumps over the last, 3 to 4 years, and I think Alex Carey will do a hell of a job as well. But if you're dropping catches or missing stumpings behind the pegs, it makes the game a lot harder. 20 wickets are hard enough to get at the best of times, but if you have to get 24, 25, that makes the game really tough. So me personally, I like the best keeper behind the stumps. Gilchrist sort of ruined it for a lot of people because he actually made a lot of runs quickly, but he also kept extremely well. So there is, there's some really good keepers in the country at the moment to replace Tim, but that's great that they've gone with Alex because he's been probably the second behind for quite a while, and they've backed him to do it. And good luck to him, but he's got a hard job to be as good as Tim behind the pegs. And against, particularly Nathan Lyon, who's very hard to keep to, he did an incredible job, Tim. So Alex has got his work to cut out to get up to that standard, but he's the sort of guy that can definitely do it.
Kept you a bit longer than we expected, David. I really appreciate you giving us a bit of extra time. Good luck Tuesday. Get your tickets. Tuesday night, home clash, Renegades, Adelaide Strikers, Marvel Stadium. Let's hope you have a big, big bash, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, and big thanks for all the support.
David Saker, Melbourne Renegades head coach, proud principal partner of the Melbourne Renegades. Free-thinking home, car, business and personal loans is Liberty. You can visit liberty.com.au, but conditions apply. Stick around. Back to wrap up after the break.